White Sox Weekly, the official weekly talk show covering all things White Sox baseball.
Get the fireworks ready.
White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890.
So welcome in to White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. I'm Connor McKnight, and we are live this afternoon with a very captive studio audience here at Jewel on Roosevelt and Wabash. Thanks so much for coming out. If you're going to come out to the show, and we highly encourage you doing so because we got stuff you can win, and we're right up by the booze, by the beer and liquor section, and in between that and the Cheez-Its. So if you're looking for us to come out and hang by the show, that's where we are. I'm Connor McKnight, and we've got you for the next 2 hours here on White Sox Week. We will lead you all the way up to the White Sox pregame show. Of course, it's the Sox and Indians wrapping up their season this afternoon and tomorrow. Just two games left for this 2017 White Sox team, and we got some news about these White Sox on Thursday. Rick Hahn, the general manager, sitting down and talking with reporters quite a bit about the future of this team, and of course the news that Carlos Rodon has indeed had surgery just over the last couple of days. It's an arthroscopic surgery on his shoulder, and as far as things go, as far as the shoulder surgery goes for a pitcher, about the best news you could have found. But as Rick mentioned too in his press conference, you know, it is always kind of a concern when you open up a shoulder for a pitcher. So we'll have to, you'll hear from Rick Hahn on the show in just a little while. You'll hear from Ricky Renteria, kind of the de facto season-ending press conferences with the both of them, the general manager and the manager of the White Sox on Thursday before the Sox got underway in their last home game. So we'll walk through a little bit of that and talk through some of the things that that have gone on in this season. We'll do a full wrap-up show next Saturday and really put a capsule on everything and look forward a little bit too. But, you know, suffice it to say, the general manager brought up a couple of points in his press conference yesterday, or Thursday, I should say, about where some of the pieces, where some of the future of this club lies. And in more than just talking about prospects, he was setting up ideas for current players and for situations for current players and how, you know, this team may look similar but different going into next season, how the growth of these young guys over the next season is going to impact a lot, obviously, the future of this franchise. So we'll get into that a little bit today. And, you know, as always, we have a question for you, the White Sox fan. We'll pose it to you now. There's two ways you can get involved with the show. Actually, I take that back. Since we're live at Jewel, there are technically three ways you can get involved with the show. One is giving us a call, 312-591-8900. That's the phone number here on the show, always is. You give us a ring. Happy to talk about the White Sox with you, although we do have one specific question for you if you want to get to that in just a little bit. You can also shoot us a tweet. At C1 McKnight is the Twitter handle. You hit us there. We'll always get back to you throughout the course of the week. We will also, today and today only, be featuring live questions if you come up here at the Jewel, Roosevelt, and Wabash. You can hang out with us. We're doing a live show. You can spin the wheel of prizes here on WLS. Let's see what you can win. I'm grabbing the prize wheel right now. You can win DVDs. You can win a hat. I'm actually wearing, what's the best way? It's the halfway to St. Patrick's Day hat that the Sox gave out. It's sponsored by Jameson. We're right up here by the Jameson display. They knew where to put us this afternoon for White Sox Weekly. It's a lovely, and I don't know a better way to say it, it's a cabbie hat, right? I mean, that's essentially what it is. I'm sure it's got a better name, too. But it's a good-looking lid, and you can walk away with one of those if you're out and about on the South Downtown side. Roosevelt and Wabash is where we're at, the Jewel here upstairs. So you can come hang out with us. Sox fans, you can also sign up for Sox Fest 2018. You can do it right now, and you can receive a Hawk Harrelson talking bobblehead. The exclusive giveaway item is only available through Sox Fest hotel packages. So join us January 26th through January 28th for a weekend of White Sox baseball you won't want to miss. Hotel packages are available now at whitesox.com/SoxFest. I always, you know, it's so strange, and I think I mentioned this last week when we were doing White Sox Weekly. You know, we start getting these, you know, the reads and the promos from the White Sox, you know, the end of season ones, a couple of weeks with the season to play, and we start doing Sox Fest reads, and it feels like, oh boy, that's going to be so far away. But it really hops on quicker than I imagine each and every time with Sox Fest coming up at the end of January this year. So the question I have for our White Sox Weekly listeners this afternoon. Though certainly you're welcome to join the show and talk about any aspect of the White Sox you feel like. You're going to hear from Rick Hahn, the general manager, in a few. You're going to hear from Ricky Renteria. And we will also, oh, I forgot to mention, after the 5 o'clock news, we're going to get on the horn and talk to Chris Cook of the Chicago Tribune. If you are a Blackhawks fan, you absolutely know Chris Cook's work. He has been, over the last handful of years, covering the Blackhawks. I believe, I was talking with Chris the other day, and I think he came on right at the beginning. I think it was Patrick Kane's rookie season is when he hopped on the Blackhawks beat. Well, the Tribune has moved some things around, and Chris Cook is taking over for Colleen Kane, who did a fantastic job with her time on the White Sox beat. But Chris is moving over to the White Sox beat, so we figured we'd introduce you to the newest White Sox beat reporter, a guy who is going to be covering your team, the White Sox, for the foreseeable future for a good long time. Chris is a fantastic reporter, and we'll get his impressions as he's hopped on to this season a little after the All-Star break. So there's been a lot that Chris has seen, a lot of new stuff, too. It'll be kind of fun, be really fun to get a fresh perspective from Chris about this club as the Sox go into the offseason here after the 2017 season. Here's the question for you, though, and we've drawn this out long enough. The question for you is this. What do you need? How do you want the White Sox to proceed, whether this offseason or next, in the immediate future, for Avi Garcia, who's going to finish second in Major League Baseball in batting average, and how do you want them to proceed with Jose Abreu, who was one of three players in the history of Major League Baseball to register over 25 homers and over 100 RBI in each of his first four seasons? It's him, it's Jose Abreu, it's Joe DiMaggio, and it's Albert Pujols. That's it. Those are two Hall of Famers. Pujols is going to be HOF 5 years after he retires. That's going to be a first ballot guy. Obviously, you know, Jose's circumstances are different coming over at age 26 from Cuba, but my goodness, I mean, that kind of company is worth taking a look at. So, question to you is this. How do the White Sox proceed with Avi Garcia and with Jose Abreu? 312-591-8900. That's the phone number here. When we come back after a quick break, we'll hear from Rick Hahn in just a couple of minutes about Carlos Rodon. Want to talk a bit about what the surgery means for Carlos, for the rotation on the whole. And I think it really actually, there might be something good in the immediate term that comes out of Carlos having to. Certainly, it's not a great thing when you've got to have a pitcher of Carlos's magnitude go on the disabled list like he had to do to start the season, being shut down toward the end of the year. But I'm going to find, and if we have to draw it, so be it. I'm going to find a little bit of silver lining in this. Maybe you're with me, maybe you're not, but I'm going to point out something I think might benefit the White Sox with Carlos needing surgery. Certainly trying to make something out of nothing, I suppose. 312-591-8900. That's the phone number here on White Sox Weekly. I'm Connor McKnight. We'll be right back with the latest from White Sox General Manager Rick Hahn here on WLS AM 890. Welcome back to White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. I'm Connor McKnight, and we are taking you all the way up to the pregame show this afternoon from 3:30 up until 5:30. Technically 5:35 is when we'll kick off the pregame show. White Sox and the Indians today. I'm actually pretty excited for this one. I was talking to Carson Fulmer before the White Sox got out of town, and of course he's the starting pitcher for the White Sox today. He goes against Corey Kluber, which is obviously a high-profile matchup. And, you know, with the way Carson has been pitching the last two starts, obviously his first one, you know, part of a doubleheader, it did not go Carson's way. And really the whole AAA season for Carson was not what he wanted it to be. Early on, he got off to a very good start, was going fairly deep into games, giving up the home run ball every now and again, but felt like he was commanding his pitches a lot better than he did in the subsequent 3 months or so. He's got two quality starts in his last two starts. And I'm kind of throwing out the start against the Astros because when you go out after 20 pitches and blisters and, you know, just things aren't there for you, I think you get the opportunity to kind of write that one off. Now, hopefully Carson's able to get out there, throw healthy, and the blisters don't pop up for him this afternoon. But, you know, in talking with Carson a little bit before he took off, we were talking a bit about the high fastball and the propensity of guys who have a little movement on it, who can throw different types of fastballs like Carson can. He's got a four-seamer with a boatload of life. He's got the two-seamer and a cutter as well. And as, you know, you've probably read quite a bit about the home run rate rise this season, the uppercut swing and all that stuff. I can't tell you, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it's one thing that has driven the uptick in home runs. I just don't, I'm not, there are smarter men than me who, smarter people than me, who aren't quite sure exactly what one factor it is that's ticked up home runs all across the league. Even, you know, middle infielders who have no business hitting 20 are hitting 20 this season. That said, it seems that to combat some of the upper hand, or the uppercut swings that we've seen across the league this year, the White Sox played the Diamondbacks, who are playoff bound, and maybe no team illustrates a changeover to this, both individually and team-wise, than the Arizona Diamondbacks. They got J.D. Martinez, who was an early adopter of this kind of work. They have a guy like Jake Lamb, who's right up there in this kind of stuff. They let go of Mitch Haniger, who went to the Seattle Mariners, who they kind of changed around and put into this stuff. And Mitch, when he hasn't been hurt, has been really good for them. But both Carson Fulmer and Lucas Giolito, and to a certain degree Ronaldo Lopez, have really adapted and taken to throwing high fastballs. It's gotten them a lot of swings and misses this year. It's drawn some bad contact for them. It's gotten them out of tough ABs more often than not, it seems. So as those guys get more comfortable and as that pitch kind of plays into their own strengths, I think it'll be really interesting to watch how those three guys specifically, and as they go up, and we'll talk more about the prospects that are involved in the White Sox right now, you know, Michael Kopech, Alec Hansen, Dane Dunning, we'll see how those guys adapt to using that pitch as well, or that certain selection of pitch. But I'm kind of interested. I'm really interested to watch Carson tonight and see exactly what he's got against a real, real good Indians team. That's the young part of the White Sox rotation. And obviously, Carlos Rodon is certainly still young, but it feels like he's been here quite a bit longer, and he has, than a guy like Lucas Giolito, than a guy like Ronaldo Lopez, and then a guy like Carson Fulmer. That said, Carlos goes for surgery this past week, arthroscopic surgery on his shoulder to get some bursitis cleaned up. Certainly a hit anytime you've got to open up a shoulder. So you've got White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. Sorry for the last little bit there. We're live at Jewel on Roosevelt and Wabash. We were just talking a bit about Carlos Rodon. So our engineer Steve is out here making sure the dials and the wheels are working right. He has his son Lucas here as well, and we had to send Lucas up to the roof to run the crank and make sure that everything was connected correctly. And he's six? He's doing a great job. He's doing an absolute heck of a job out here. I feel like we're probably going to run into some OSHA labor laws, most likely, with a six-year-old out here literally cranking the hand crank on a radio broadcast, but we're going to do the best we can. He's a trooper. He's going to be fine. Let's get him a Red Bull and just fire him up for the rest of the hour and a half of the show. All right, let's get to it. We were just talking about Carlos Rodon and exactly the prognosis, the rehab, the work, and the actual specifics of the injury. Here's General Manager Rick Hahn talking Thursday about the latest injury to Carlos.
Yesterday in Los Angeles, Carlos Rodon underwent an arthroscopic procedure on his left shoulder, performed by Dr. Neil Eletrage. The procedure revealed significant bursitis in his left shoulder, which was debrided. The good news is that both the labrum and the biceps were viewed as normal during the procedure, and Carlos is expected to make a full recovery. The timing as to his return to a major league mound is still difficult to pinpoint at this point and is going to be dependent upon how his rehab goes. We are able to put a general time frame of 6 to 8 months on his return to a major league mound. 6 months, to do the math for you, puts us at roughly opening day, and 8 months puts us at roughly June 1st. We'll not know more as to specifics of that timing until obviously Carlos completes his rehab and begins throwing in spring training. So there won't be any updates on timing there until we get to Glendale next spring. All things considered, it was obviously as good a result as we could hope for, knowing that we got to the point where he needed to have this arthroscopy to determine exactly what was troubling him in the shoulder. So questions on that or any other topic?
Rick, with that, did you suspect that it might be more than bursitis when you first started dealing with this last spring?
Well, all the MRIs and the multiple doctors that were consulted all seemed to agree that it was bursitis. However, once it got to the point where rehabilitation allowed him at least to return but not to stay healthy, I think there was concern for everyone involved. And you never want to undergo a surgical procedure unless you absolutely have to, especially on a pitcher's arm. But it certainly got to the point where this was the best path to determine precisely what was going on, and we're pleased with, although still obviously a very real issue, that it seems to have been limited to bursitis and something which can, as I said, was debrided, and he has a good prognosis going forward.
Rick, is there something that has to change? I mean, obviously not after the surgery it does, but that kind of the cause that led up to this, something it is?
There's no specific delivery-based cause or usage cause or anything along those lines. It's something that happens from time to time, and unfortunately it happened to Carlos. It is, I did ask, and my understanding is that once he's on the other side of this and fully returned to pitching, he is not at any heightened risk of recurrence vis-a-vis any other pitcher from suffering from bursitis. So it should be behind him once he's fully healthy.
You would expect a full recovery where he would be the same guy, velocity-wise?
The prognosis is for a full and complete recovery and him to return back to the pitcher he was. Now, again, anytime you go into someone's shoulder, you do so with the utmost caution, and we don't try to prognosticate too much on what's going to wind up happening. But in terms of what was medically performed and what they saw inside the shoulder, it was as good as we could hope, and he is projected to make a full recovery.
Rick, do you feel like this gave you an answer that you've been kind of looking for since February in terms of why it hadn't been right?
It does give us an answer. I think part of it was that he obviously returned to form for a stretch there too. So when he started to regress a little bit, and you did see some of it in some of his starts where it took him a few innings to get loose, you could just tell from watching him it wasn't quite right. And then when we had to scratch him during his pregame bullpen, you knew that this issue wasn't going away, and it needed to be explored to try to get to the bottom of it.
Our manager Rick Hahn talking a bit there about Carlos Rodon and the surgery that was done this past week here. Got to take a break before we go and hit the 4 o'clock news. You can commemorate the Hall of Fame career of White Sox outfielder Tim Raines by purchasing a limited edition Tim Raines Hall of Fame dual bobblehead. This unique keepsake includes action shots of Tim's likeness as well as a White Sox and Expos players. Rock bobbleheads are available at $40 each and available while supplies last. Visit whitesox.com/rockbobble. That's whitesox.com/rockbobble to get yours today. This is White Sox Weekly, and we're live at the Jewel Osco out here at Roosevelt and Wabash. Come on by and say hello. We're right in between the Jameson display and the Cheez-Its out here. We got giveaways, too. Stuff for you. White Sox hats from the halfway to St. Patrick's Day. Where is the – let me see this. Oh, yeah, we got cool White Sox T-shirts as well. You can have those. And WLS has brought back some tote bags that you can use as shopping bags here. Word is it actually costs – to pick up a shopping bag these days. So this could be, I mean, this might be a $100 giveaway over the course of a year. You use one of these, take it grocery shopping. Shoot, you could pack your lunch, take it to the White Sox game, and tailgate before you get started for a 2018 season opener, perhaps. Hopefully the weather is good enough to tailgate out there. Two seasons ago with the snow, that was pretty crazy. We will be right back, and you'll hear a little bit more from White Sox general manager Rick Hahn. He had his season-ending press conference on Thursday before the White Sox headed to Cleveland. So stay right here. You've got WLS AM 890. Welcome back to White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. We got the White Sox pregame show coming up at 5:35 this evening, afternoon. That's kind of right in the middle. Never really sure where to put that 5:35 thing. We're going to call it evening just so that I don't lose my mind. Sox fans, it's never too early to lock in a 2018 ticket package. Full and partial ticket plans are available. Take advantage of great benefits like discounted pricing and flexible payment plans. For more information, call 312-674-1000 or visit whitesox.com. Mentioned before the break that we were going to get to Rick Hahn. He gave his season-ending press conference at Guaranteed Rate Field on Thursday before the game. And a lot of interesting stuff was brought up, and I want to get into some of the meat of it afterward. We'll talk a bit, you and I, about some of the things Rick had to say. It's in two parts. You can actually come out and hang out with us. I just want to let you know. We are live at Jewel on Roosevelt and Wabash downtown on the just south of our studios up there at the NBC Tower. So you can come on by, say hello. We'd love to see you. And we'll give away some free stuff as well. If you want it, you can have it. Not the stuff here at the Jewel, just the stuff we brought with us. Here is White Sox General Manager Rick Hahn. This is Thursday, prior to the last home game of the 2017 season.
Rick, how would you wrap up the season here as far as goals that you, Kenny, and then Jerry wanted to accomplish along with Ricky and Steph?
You know, I think obviously we were, I feel, fairly transparent throughout this process about where what we were trying to accomplish, both in 2017 and for the long term. As we look back at 2017, we're certainly pleased with some of the accomplishments we were able to have both at the major league level as well as in player development and internationally and with the amateur draft. Taking each of those in turn, I feel that one of the most important steps forward we made as an organization at the major league level was not just the beginning of the introduction of some of these young players who are conceivably part of an impact core for a long time around here, the Moncadas and Giolitos and Lopez's, et cetera. But it's the culture that Ricky and his coaching staff has been able to create in that clubhouse. I cannot tell you how many various fans have stopped me or emailed me or mentioned to me that they've never been this excited over a 60-win team, or they've never been this excited over a team that isn't going to the playoffs. And I think so much of that is based upon how Ricky and the coaches have them playing day in and day out. You see them fighting 27 outs. You see them prepared every night. And sure, we're going to get outmanned during this process. But the fight and competitiveness and the style of play is the kind of thing that is going to endure year in, year out. And that was something that was extremely important to establish at the big league level for all of us. And I can't say enough, obviously, about what the job that Ricky and the staff has done along those lines. Internationally, it was imperative to us as we went down this path of the rebuild to be aggressive and to be able to convert on high-impact talent that was going to cost us only money, so to speak. And in being able to sign Luis Robert, we felt that was a tremendous shot in the arm for our position player talent base and is another piece of this puzzle that's going to help us over an extended period of time. In player development, we saw many important players take a step forward, whether it was Michael Kopech or Alec Hansen. The progress that was made in the short time he was with us with Eloy Jimenez and the stuff that Zach Collins was able to accomplish defensively are very important step forwards for arguably important pieces of this puzzle as we move forward. And you also wound up, which is inevitably part of this, well, certainly you're going to have some guys who, for whatever reason, don't perform up to the level you project, whether it's due to injury or whatever else the baseball gods have in mind for you. You're going to have some players that surprise. And Nicky Delmonico coming up here and doing what he's done in the time he's been in Chicago is a testament not only to Nicky but to the scouts that identified him and the work that Buddy Bell and Chris Getz and that department was able to do to maximize his ability. Lastly, in the amateur draft, we're very pleased with the players we were able to convert on. We wanted to continue to add, balance out the depth of our system and add more position players. And in Berger and Sheets and Gonzalez in the first few picks, as well as a smattering of others, we feel we were able to round out our system in a positive way. All that said, we know we still have a lot of work to do. We know that, quite frankly, we may be entering a slightly more difficult phase of this rebuild, and that is the phase where we have to allow this talent the time and patience to develop. You saw it with Moncada and Giolito and Lopez. There's a lot of people clamoring for them to come to Chicago, and we had to remain strong and not bring them here until we felt they were in the best position to have success. There's going to be temptation again next year, whether it's some of the higher profile guys like Kopech and Jimenez that are probably garnering the most notoriety in our system right now or others on the fast track, that in order to get this thing right for the long term, we have to make sure they answer all the questions that we have for them at the player development level before they come to Chicago. Ultimately, that may prove to be challenging, but we're going to have to remain strong and diligent and realize that this isn't about any individual player or any individual season. This is about building something for the long term, and that for this next phase is going to require player development, to play its important role, and us to have the patience in Chicago to allow that to unfold.
Spending big money in the open market, do you have that figured out yet, or will you figure it out on the fly?
We're going to have to figure that out in the coming years. We know, as I've said from the start, that ultimately free agency is going to be part of this. I mean, realistically, free agency is going to be part of it. You'd like to believe that we have answers for championship caliber talent at numerous, at every position on the diamond and throughout our pitching staff. But in reality, we know that some guys aren't going to develop away along the lines that you project, or some guys are going to get hurt, and it's going to create a need at the big league level. As we sit here right now, it's too soon to say that we need someone at position X for when it's time to win. As we enter this offseason, we'll monitor the free agent market, and if there's the opportunity to get someone that we feel fits for the long term, we may move on that. Or you may see us continue as we did last offseason and be a little more opportunistic, looking for players that can fill current holes and perhaps lead to future transactions that help the long term.
When does his rehab officially begin? And when you said 6 months, he could be ready by opening day?
The window for his return, I would say, is 6 to 8 months from yesterday, the day of the surgery, which would put him, if it's everything goes perfectly, again, and you're dealing with more of the softer science side of this. There isn't a set, at 3 months he's supposed to be doing this, and at 4 months he'll be able to do that. It's going to be more about how the body heals, and then ultimately how we're able to build up arm strength. So conceivably, the front end of that is around opening day, but the back end is about June 1st. And again, we're just not going to know where he's going to fall in that until he gets back to throwing come next spring.
Rick, you call this first phase accumulation while taking down the old roster. Have you guys moved out of that phase yet?
I don't think entirely. Player acquisition is still going to be part of what we're trying to do, even in the final stages, whether it's in free agency, as we talked about, or, trading from a position of depth to address a need. Certainly you've seen many quality teams going to the postseason that had to continue to be aggressive in their processes over the course of this past trade deadline. And once we're ready to win and contend for championships, I suspect we're going to have to do the same. But look, we're obviously going to have a fairly high pick in the 2018 draft. That's going to be another important draft for us. And if there's the opportunity this offseason to make similar such trades, the ones we've already made, then we're certainly going to explore them. We have a responsibility to do that. You're not, obviously, based on what we currently still have in-house and the age of the roster and the fit of certain guys going forward, you're not going to see anywhere near the volume of transactions that we saw over the last, months going back to December. But that is also probably part of what makes this phase a little bit more difficult. It's going to be more about, there's still going to be the player acquisition part. There's still going to be the occasional deal that's going to make us excited here about who we're bringing in. But this is going to be as much about development and maximizing our internal talent as it is going to, more so than it's going to be about acquiring from the outside.
Rick, whenever you talk about 2019, 2020, do you allow yourself to look at what the Twins do, for instance, and say, well, we could maybe put a competitive team on the field in 2018, and do you allow for that contingency that we could be good next year?
You know what I allow for, Chris? I allow for people around here to be pleased about what we've been able to do in 1 year that question's even on the table, the notion that we could possibly contend in 2018. When we set out to do this, we talked about the fact that these rebuilds take time, that this is a long-term project, that this is something that we've seen throughout the league, and even the best of them have taken 4 or 5 years. Now, again, we felt we were in a little bit different position in that we had some premium assets at the big league level that were going to allow us to make some pretty impactful trades as opposed to necessarily just starting from scratch and building through the draft. So we weren't ready to commit to any sort of time frame. But the notion that people are even entertaining the concept that we could contend in 1 year into this process, I think shows that people feel very optimistic and pleased with what we've been able to do so far. Ultimately, our goal, as we've stated throughout, is to put ourselves in a position to be a World Series contender and a World Series champion year in and year out. That entails a club that is capable of, in all probability, winning 90-plus games in order to win a division, if not 95, to be able to win a division and put yourself in a good position into the playoffs. Anything can happen once you get in, and the key is getting in, but we want to build a club that has that level of premium talent that you're one of the elite teams in the postseason. We're not looking to build a club that's going to jump up and 1 year contend for a wild card and then regress back. We're looking for a longer-term point of view. I think the Twins have a very bright future ahead of them, and their future probably got here a little bit earlier than they anticipated by getting to the postseason as quickly as they did. But again, I think they're also shooting for that next higher level, which is part of the reason you didn't see them, you know, sell off their system in order to lock down what they were able to do this year. Our situation, pleased that that's even on people's minds, but what we're shooting for is not a one-year fix. We're shooting for something that's going to be sustainable.
Rick, you said a year ago in the winter that there was no untouchables in this organization. Considering all the good young talent that you have right now, would you still say that, or are there people that you would still deal even if they were considered top people in your organization?
When I say there's no untouchables, I think that's when you say someone's untouchable, you break off conversations. Clubs aren't going to engage in any substantive matter on players if you say, "Oh, I'm sorry, that person's untouchable." So I do, I follow Jerry's mindset on that, and that he, in his 37 years in Chicago sports or whatever the number is combined, he's had one untouchable in Michael Jordan between the two clubs, and obviously that's a pretty special, unique situation. So the way we approach it is the same way we approached it last offseason, and that is that we are open-minded on all our guys. Certainly some are far more difficult to move than others, and many of those who we view as part of this next core to put us in the position to have an extended run would be extremely difficult to move unless we're for some reason acquiring similar such talent back, which is a pretty rare transaction in the game.
Welcome back to White Sox Weekly. That's General Manager Rick Hahn. We got to hit the break real quick here, but Rick did a real good job of, doing my job, quite frankly, because that is a teaser if there was ever a teaser. There are never untouchables, he says. You can't cut off conversation, and you always have to make sure that you're doing the best for every interest of your ball club. We'll talk about what that means for Jose Abreu and Javi Garcia when we come back. 312-591-8900. I put the question out there on Twitter, and we've gotten some feedback there. At C1 McKnight is the Twitter handle. Question is pretty simply, what would you do with Javi Garcia and Jose Abreu? What would you have the White Sox do if you had Rick Hahn's job and gave out that whole press conference on Thursday? What is it that you'd be looking to get done? 312-591-8900. That's the phone number. You got White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890. Welcome back to White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. I'm Connor McKnight, and your breakout MLB season is on Nintendo Switch. RBI Baseball 2017 is filled with fast-paced, pick-up-and-play MLB action packed with all your favorite MLB teams, players, ballparks, and much more. Get RBI Baseball today for Nintendo Switch. Learn more at rbigame.com. I didn't know any of that before I read it. I know that the White Sox bullpen specifically are all hooked on Nintendo Switches right now. It's pretty intense. The competition is there. Mike Pelfrey apparently is your leader in the clubhouse on the Nintendo Switch. They're all really hooked on the Zelda game, though I have seen them all playing RBI Baseball on Nintendo Switch too. We just got done listening to Rick Hahn talk a bit about his ball club and specifically answer a couple of questions on the potential future for Jose Abreu and Javi Garcia. And I wanted to address it a little bit here because they are really fascinating, A, players, B, in one case, rebound project, in another case, a mark of consistency that has been there in the middle of the White Sox lineup since the day he signed, since winning the Rookie of the Year, the whole run. So I think what's important to look at, and we'll hear Rick went on to talk about a number of other things concerning the White Sox and a little bit more on Avi and Jose. We'll probably get to that after the 4:30 news break here. But I just wanted to say this much for it. With both Avi and Jose, and maybe it's not the best, maybe it's not the calming influence that you want with both those players. But I think in as much as this rebuild, in as much as the process for the White Sox has seemingly sped along over the last 2 months. I think it might do well to just, you know, tap the brakes once or twice during the offseason. And I'm not talking about the front office. I'm not talking about, you know, exactly what might happen with these players. I just mean from fan expectation, from our own outside in looking at this ball club and perhaps wondering a bit as to what the 2018 season might bring you. Because as Tim Anderson runs away with these last 2 months and gets things sorted out, as Avi Garcia will finish second in Major League Baseball in hitting without any kind of, you know, big fluctuation here in the last 2 days, as Jose Abreu stalks career numbers in home runs and perhaps RBI, as Lucas Giolito and Carson Fulmer, who makes a start tonight, and Ronaldo Lopez, you know, leave a good taste in your mouth at the end of the season, hopefully all three of them will, you start to put things together, right? You start to put the roster down on paper and start to dream about what, you know, top-end results from each of those players in 2018 might make your team look like. Obviously, the surgery to Carlos Rodon is a bit of a setback in what those dreams might look like. And there's no doubt that as all those players continue to get better, something that another thing Rick Hahn has kind of drilled into us, I think, over the last season, and something that we've talked about a bit on the show, is that development isn't a linear thing, right? There could be setbacks, and there could be, you know, spurts and fits for all of those guys. However, I think when it comes to Jose and when it comes to Avi, you've got the ability to wait and see some. And I think with Avi specifically, you know, the wait and see makes a lot of sense there. White Sox fans and the organization, and Avi too, had been waiting to tap into what was pretty clearly a good hitter. And we've seen that so far this season. But in a real way, there are some things in his year that have looked perhaps lucky. There are things in his year that have looked like they've made absolute sense. The opposite field power, for instance. The fact that he's running out every ground ball. I just think that as we go through this offseason, there might be a propensity to want to press the gas pedal on everything. And I think, if anything, we've learned a bit that kind of waiting and seeing, while it has its own risks, I'm not saying it's a perfect fix for everything, it's just kind of waiting and seeing and letting things, you know, play out around you is a pretty decent strategy, too, when you have as many cards, when you're holding as many cards, and by that I mean, you know, young talent, young pieces, as the White Sox have. We got to hit a break here. 312-591-8900. Want to know your thoughts on Avi and Jose as well. We have more Rick Hahn to get for you. We have more Ricky Renteria to get to you as well. White Sox and Indians coming up at 5:35. We'll start the pregame show. I'm Connor. You've got White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890.